Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, Take Two in the World of Podcasting proudly present to you the WWE Tag Team Super Fans of the World, the Dream Craig Machine, the Badass Johnny P, Take Two Takedown.
And if you're not down with Take Two Takedown, we got two words for you.
Suck it!
Episode 33. I'm John.
I am Craig.
And this is Take Two Takedown.
We are here for episode 33, bringing you all the wrestling news that you could ever want. Because so much excitement happened this week on the show.
What were you watching?
Yeah. Oh, we have a lot to discuss. And by a lot, I mean nothing at all.
These were placeholder shows.
They really were. They really were.
When you have a barbecue food fight,
right,
and a dance off,
right,
you know nothing is going down.
Nothing
on
is going on at all.
Nothing at all.
But again, welcome to Take Two Takedown. If you do not follow us on the Twitter, please fix that. We are at Take Two Takedown. That's T-O-O.
Yeah, you better check yourself or you wreck yourself.
Better check yourself. You follow us on the Twitter because we are quite hilarious. And by we, I mean John. But we are quite funny on there, especially during the Raw and the SmackDown and any sort of pay-per-view events that they do. So please follow us on there. You can also contact us via our mailbag, our triple T bag at tripletbag@gmail.com. That's tripletbag@gmail.com, where we read all of the best letters from the week. And I believe we have one this week, Mr. John.
We do.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to put this out to you because you are more the music man than I am on this show.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm an old fuddy-duddy.
Right.
I've been stuck on the Garth channel for a week now.
Yep.
And but you are an up-and-comer. You understand what the kids like today.
I have my pulse on the beats of society.
You have your pulse.
Yeah.
More like your fingers on the pulse.
No.
No, nah, just your pulse.
Just my pulse.
All mm-hmm. right, you're pulsating on the beats of
yep.
society.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right, well,
don't
with
correct
that,
me. Don't ever correct me again.
All right, listen. With that said,
yes,
we have a letter from Marshall.
Oh, Marshall.
Marshall says,
mm-hmm.
the real one we know as Enzo Amore.
Right.
Now going by the real one.
Mm-hmm. Real and then the number one.
Correct.
Right.
Kind of mm-hmm. like the Reebok shoe.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Well, with that said, Marshall puts in here, hey, listen, I enjoy your show. You guys are hilarious.
Obviously. Thank you, Marshall.
But he says, with the release of Enzo's new song,
mm-hmm.
he is dying to hear, one, our outtake on the song,
right,
and two, what is our favorite lyric in there?
Well, if you have not heard, Enzo Amore has released a rap video.
Phoenix. Rising like a phoenix.
Rising like a phoenix from the ashes. He released it, I believe, Memorial Day?
Yeah.
You know, as his sort of comeback into society?
No.
Entertainment?
I think it was like his backhand slap.
Right, okay.
In the face of everyone that judged him.
Everyone that judged him. Because he, in the song, he calls out Fat Marx.
Yeah.
He calls out the women that accused him.
Yeah.
He calls out TMZ.
They're ruining the Me Too movement.
They are. They're ruining the Me Too movement. He wants some restitution from TMZ.
Yeah.
Because the Constitution's been disillusioned. And whatever else he was rhyming.
Did you write this song?
I wrote this song. So we listened to the song probably more times than anyone should. Enzo is not a horrible rapper.
Well,
he's not a good rapper, but I've heard much worse.
Well,
he's not mumble rapping, which is the new thing now.
No.
So I like it more than that.
But I do like the way he slurs and slangs words so that they rhyme. Like, I have never known Phoenix and penis to rhyme.
Right, right. But that is the best part, I feel, is the chorus line. The still I rise like ash from the ashes like a phoenix, middle finger to the sky, gripping my consensual penis.
Yeah, I mean, if nothing is more prolific than that, I think he speaks for your generation.
He does. He really, my generation. I don't know if he speaks for any generation.
He doesn't speak for my generation. Mm-hmm. Like I said, we still listen to Garth Brooks.
That's true. That's true. But there's the words are quite filthy.
Yes, yes.
But he did release it exclusively first on World Star Hip Hop. So you know that it's got street cred.
Ooh, yo. Street cred.
Mm-hmm. If it's on World Star.
Yeah, so not only did he release the song, but he released a video with it.
He did.
And in the video, there is a lot of jabs at society and a lot of, you know, things that true fat marks, as he calls us, mm-hmm. know. Like, the shirt he's wearing in the video where it said, "This is the best day of my life,"
right,
was the shirt he was wearing when he got fired from WWE.
Right, right.
The video starts out with a guy, like some fat mark,
eating Oreos, yeah,
mm-hmm. just, you know, in his mom's basement, and you know, he's jabbing at everyone that judged him.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Talking about him doing his armchair detective work and all that kind of stuff, and when was the last time you kept a 2-month social media silence, all that, and it, yeah, I don't know. Like, I understand his frustration in sort of the situation. I don't know if this is the best way to try and come back into mainstream media, but, you know, Enzo does what Enzo does. He does him.
Yeah. So, we've gone over the song. Mm-hmm. What was your favorite lyric?
It is hard to say. It is hard to say. I think my favorite part may be when he calls out TMZ, which is the part I was saying before,
mm-hmm.
which is TMZ owes me some restitution in the midst of disillusion. Choosing public prosecution over constitution ain't the right solution.
Nice.
I kind of like it.
My favorite part, and I'm not going to try to rap, but my favorite part was where he talks about, "You're hurting the Me Too movement with gender prosecution. I ain't no Bill Cosby."
Yes.
I ain't no Bill Cosby.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I believe he rhymed that with "our women's revolution, what the fuck you doing?"
Yeah.
So, okay.
So there,
there's that. There's that thing. Mm-hmm.
There that is.
So yeah, so that happened with Enzo.
Okay.
He's never coming back, right? Like, that's a thing.
Well, I mean, obviously he's, you don't, like, diss the people that enjoyed you. Like, why right. would you come after wrestling fans and call us all marks? I get that you're upset. Mm. I get that you're angry. But don't forget who pays you.
Well, because
ultimately, the money comes out of our pocket to pay to watch you wrestle.
Yeah. Well, and he's, in here, he sort of refers to the people that have been waiting. You know, not all those marks have been hating. Like, he's acting like there's a solid fan base that is like, "Psh, I don't need Enzo to wrestle. I've been waiting for him to rap instead." And that's not a thing that exists.
No.
Like, there is no core group of hard Enzo fans that is like, "That wrestling thing was just getting in the way of his real career, rapping."
Yeah, I don't want Enzo the personality.
No, I want Enzo the wrestler.
But Enzo the wrestler wasn't that good either.
He wasn't, but he was good on the mic and ring.
Exactly.
So I'd be fine with that.
I'm just saying Enzo's going to go, and he's going to go his own way, and it's going to be kicking and screaming, and I don't think we see him in a week.
I agree. But, however, none of this changes the fact that I will still listen to Sin Is Soft theme song that him and Big Cass used to have.
I didn't even like that one.
I liked that one. S-A-W-F-T.
I did like the soft stick.
Soft, yeah.
I never liked Big Cass.
Just in general?
I'd just leave it at that.
Just in general. Just
all right, you know what I do like?
I know what I like.
High energy drinks.
Exactly.
And I need one.
And we need one.
I'm dying.
So we have our traditional non-sponsored drink that we drink quite often.
Bang!
Bang! Full of caffeine, no freeness. Caffeine-free amino
super
acids.
Creatine Ultra COQ10.
And what flavor do you have today?
I just Mr. popped John. Open the cherry blade lime.
Blade?
Or not lime, lemonade.
Ooh, lemonade. Cherry blade lemonade.
I don't know what the blade is. Maybe after I sip it down, I get a little syringe, a little cut on the tongue.
I have sour heads.
Ooh.
Clinkies.
Smells very cherry lemonade-esque.
Mm.
And you?
That tastes like those sour warheads.
Uh-huh.
Would you like to try some, sir?
No. No, I do not.
No, no.
I do not like sour warheads.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this tastes like a delicious cherry lemonade.
I like that thing.
Would you like to try
it? Are there razor blades in it?
I don't know. I'm still looking for the blade.
Mm-hmm. Can is dark. I cannot see any.
Well.
It does taste like a cherry lemonade.
It's very delicious.
It is very delicious.
One of my favorites, I think.
So once again, the fans continue to enjoy us, progressively getting more and more hyper as the show goes on.
Yes, enjoy, friends.
Which is something we needed to do this week because of what we have to discuss, which is the placeholders, as you put it, of Raw and SmackDown this week.
All right, so we'll just put it out there now. We know that they're filling, and usually any Raw and SmackDown after a holiday weekend is crap.
Yes.
So going into it expecting that, I didn't really worry too much about taking a lot of notes.
No.
I just will give my impressions. We'll go over the
matches. We'll go over each match. We'll go over a brief thing. With Raw opening with Strowman coming out, saying he's going to be Mr. Monster in the Bank.
Yeah, I like the Monster in the Bank. It reminds me of Sesame Street.
It does. It does. But who comes out to disagree with that?
Finn Balor.
Finn Balor comes out.
Hold on a second, mister. I don't think you remember. I was the first Universal Champion. I don't know.
I don't know what happened with that.
I think that was like,
that was started as Sean Connery.
Yeah.
Somehow turned into Arnold.
Yeah.
Maybe a little Rocky in there, too.
But that's everything I see in Finn Balor. I didn't give you a...
Hey, Braun.
But anyway, he comes out. Not only does he say, hold your horses there, big fella.
Right.
He slaps him like the bitch.
Like a bitch. Ah,
bow. Smack your face.
So then Grandpa Angle's got to come out, make a match.
It was.
Right now.
Sometimes he has that power. Sometimes he does
sometimes
not.
Sometimes he does not.
Apparently today he did.
Sometimes the wrestlers make their own matches. Sometimes Angle does it. Sometimes Stephanie McMahon
it's
does it.
It's bizarro world.
It is. But don't worry, because we start this match, and then obviously what needs to occur in this match is Kevin Owens coming out to commentary.
Thank God Kevin Owens came out to commentary, because he dressed this pig up pretty.
Oh,
it was nice.
He can't do it out of character, so I don't know if he could do it for the rest of his life, but I could see KO on commentary just all the time, because he's funny. Like
it would be awesome. Now, what I like about it is he... Every time he comes in, he adds a new inflection to... Like, Finn and Braun are genuinely a decent match. Like,
yeah.
I can watch that.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. But KO comes in, causes some disorder. Braun's throwing ladders.
Yes.
Throwing KO all over the place.
All over the place.
And
Balor actually had almost a chance to win here, and then KO disrupts it. And I liked it. Like,
do you realize that I think Kevin Owens has only won, like, 4 matches in the last year?
Doesn't surprise me.
Like, he is the consummate loser.
He is.
But I love him.
But everybody loves him still.
I'm one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I enjoyed that whole thing.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at it.
No.
You know what I am mad at, though?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, WWE, in its infinite wisdom, has decided that we will go from one bullying angle to a new one.
Yes.
So, Nia Jax, who was bullied by Alexa Bliss,
right,
is now bullying the talent to show off to Ronda Rousey that arm bars don't hurt.
Right. That poor lady jobber.
Oh, what's her name? I think
they'd actually
Monica
said it.
Webb.
Michelle Webb. They did name her.
I'm going to say this. I saw her. I was like, hey, she's kind of cute.
Mm-hmm. But when she said, oh, look, demonstrate an arm bar, lady jobber. Go ahead, do it on me. And then just picked her up and slammed her to the ground.
I mean, beats her up, bullies her.
Mm-hmm.
So I am now going to believe that Alexa Bliss is right. Nia Jax is probably standing in the middle of Disney World with 2 turkey legs in her hand.
You may be right.
Going, you can't ride the teacups.
You may be right. Or maybe this is just societal proof of that bullying only leads to more bullying.
Yeah.
And that those that get bullied will eventually become bullies themselves.
So, we've gone over Nia's angle, and it's pretty weak, and we're not happy with it. But what I'm going to say is I'm going to turn a little onto Ronda. Like, we all want her to be this great performer and all that, and we get that she's still green.
Yeah.
So we get some of, like, these awkward smiles at the wrong time, and she's flubbing lines, and you can tell she's nervous and all that. I'm still giving her time, but I am still worried that, like, she's only had one, and it was a fully scripted match.
Yes.
Now you're going to put probably one of your biggest investments in a ring with somebody that is known to eat people.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm not picking on Nia per se, but just her size. She's, what, 6 foot, 200-something pounds?
Yeah. She's been known to hurt some ladies.
She wrestles a little, you know, stiff. Right.
I think the benefit they have is much like with the Angle, McMahon, Triple H match. Because Nia isn't wrestling a lot either, I mean, she's doing these jobber sort of exhibitions, that I imagine that her and Rousey are choreographing this very well. They're taking their time to work on this, hopefully, so that it will, at Money in the Bank, it will look as good as the match did at WrestleMania. That's all I can hope for. It's not like Nia's wrestling a lot of other people.
No.
So I'm hoping that they're taking time to work on this and hopefully not hurting Ronda.
Eh, we'll see what happens.
We'll see.
So I wasn't too big of that. Seth Rollins can do no wrong in my world.
Correct.
And he is literally burning it down right now. Mm-hmm. Like, every match he has is hot. He can even make Jinder Mahal look good.
Which is a hard, hard thing to do, but he does it.
My question to this is, obviously Jinder is still juicing because he has the biggest problem with body acne I've ever seen.
Yes.
So, I mean, like, to the point where I think I tweeted out as he was getting in the ring, did he grow a third nipple on his right pec?
Maybe that's where he's been injecting the steroids, just directly in the muscle.
Dude, I don't know. But it was, you know, pretty prevalent that there's something going on right now. I'm going to say, not being a big Jinder fan, I am impressed that he is coming out hard, and I like this. You know, just straight heel, I am Jinder Mahal, you owe me just for being me.
Yes.
Character, much better than the other genders we've seen, where it was racial discrimination or what have you. I like this. So I hope that they've ended this mini feud with Seth Rollins and they would just build up between him and Roman Reigns, because I don't really care for either of them. And you know, with that, I'm going to say, as a true wrestling mark, sometimes when you look at something and you're like, I don't really care what's going to go on between them, those are the greatest matches. Because you've lost vested interest so that something happens and it gains it back and you're like, oh, I'm
fully bought in. That was really awesome, yeah.
So I'm looking forward to hopefully getting some of that.
And I would assume
we got none of this
week. None of this week. But I'm thinking, I'm actually have high hopes for next week. Because the way this match ended, with Rollins celebrating up on the commentary table, and then Elias, who he had interrupted earlier, comes out and slams him with a guitar. I'm assuming this leads into Seth Rollins and Elias next week. Oh,
I was going to totally mark out. like I was getting rid of all the prelim first with Jinder, so I could totally mark out on this Elias spot.
Because this Elias, the Elias spot to start off.
Well, so he's in the ring, and he's doing his song promo and all this, and you know bad shit's going to happen because he is in there going, if you don't stop, I'm going to leave.
Yeah. Trying to get the lighting correct.
Yeah.
And yeah.
You knew something was coming up. Like, he was filling a gap, but you know they're going to create heat, and I'm glad they did it between him and Seth Rollins. Yes. Because I think these two could be the two most over talents on Raw right now.
Yep.
And to see a feud between Elias and Seth Rollins, that right now is the only thing we're dreaming about in Raw.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that, I mean, I even like the way they lead up to it with he attacked him and now Rollins was in a neck brace and started to get off in a stretcher, but he was like, no, no.
No, no. He didn't just attack him. Mm-hmm. He attacked him on Seth Rollins' birthday.
He did.
Which coincides with Rusev Day.
What? Again this year?
And Lana Day.
Oh, man. How There's crazy is
days.
That?
A lot of days.
A lot of days.
So we've had three big birthdays. We had the big dog.
We did.
We had Naughty Natty by Nature.
Mm-hmm.
And one Seth Rollins.
And one Seth Rollins, yeah.
There you go. We're going to eat some cake for him.
We'll just eat cake any day. We don't need an excuse.
I do love me some cake.
Mm-hmm.
So,
all right. So then that leads us into the Leader of Worlds versus the Ascension, but we haven't seen on anything since Greatest Royal Rumble, and I can't remember the last time we saw them before then. And oh, hey, guess what? The Deleter of Worlds wins.
I do like that finishing move, the Kiss of Deletion.
The Kiss of Deletion, I do like that. I do
like that. Yeah. Other than that, I'm still done. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know our friends at Alleged, I think even the Wrestling Life and BWO enjoy this Deleter of Worlds shtick. I'm done with the whole Woken thing, and I'm giving up. And I don't, like, even though I enjoy the comedy of the B team,
mm-hmm.
and we'll get into them, which I ultimately think will face the Deleters of Worlds at Money in the Bank.
Yes.
I just don't have any buy-in on this. Like, I kind of like, it's funny. It's like watching crappy sitcoms.
Yeah, you that's know? All like, wrestling is.
Some people are like, I really love Seinfeld. And I'm like, well, it was funny.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
This is what wrestling is. Wrestling is a giant 3.5 hour long crappy sitcom every Monday.
But there are better crappy sitcoms than others.
I'll give you that.
You know, like, what would you rather watch? Roseanne, which is a crappy sitcom,
mm-hmm.
or Big Bang Theory?
It also could be considered a crappy sitcom.
They're both crappy sitcoms. That's the point.
Mm.
But given the choice, I will sit down and watch reruns of Big Bang Theory because at least I have some buy-in.
Mm-hmm.
Where Roseanne, I could care less about it.
And it I am
equating to the Deleters of Worlds with Roseanne.
You just equated them to Seinfeld. That's what I'm thinking in my head now.
No. I was saying in general.
Nope, Deleters of Worlds or Seinfeld.
No.
One of the most popular sitcoms ever.
Go Deleters of Worlds. I don't want to be a
pirate. All right, then we get into KO comes out and actually fights.
Yeah.
And, as you mentioned, he's not winning a lot. He won.
I know.
He fought Mr. Bobby Roode.
Bobby Roode.
Mm-hmm.
Who, I'm sorry, Jace, lost.
He did. But I did enjoy, as KO attempts to leave, Bobby Roode comes down and just fucking clotheslines him on the ramp.
Yeah.
Like, that was good.
Yeah.
That was good.
You know what wasn't good?
Mm.
Having Sami Zayn come out to the middle of the ring to apologize for the Lashley clips.
The problem is that it is not Sami Zayn that needs to apologize. It is WWE creative and writers that need to come out and apologize.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to say this. Kudos to Sami Zayn in the fact that you have been giving a bag of steaming shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say there's no way you can make shit better than shit.
No.
But he's trying.
No. He is. He is trying. He is dealing with what he's got and doing the best he can with it.
And I mean, they write him a horrible story. They give him a horrible foil. Like, just make Lashley come out and destroy people.
Yeah.
Like, but you're trying to give him a character of, like, the super nice, like, he's the big brother of Apollo Crews.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And you've
seen what they've done with Apollo Crews.
Yep. Yep. So, I mean, but they even have him come out. They even go to the extent of having Lashley come out during this. And the first thing he says is thanking the military.
No headband.
And all that sort of stuff. Right. Saluted and thanking the military on Memorial Day. And you're like, could you get any more obvious? We want this person to be a face.
Wait. Let me take a moment here. Mm-hmm. We did salute on Memorial Day those that serve in the military, those that are emergency responders. We saluted them on ours.
Mm-hmm.
And we fully, truly appreciate everything these people do so that you and I can have the freedom to do a stupid wrestling show.
Completely agree.
So kudos to them.
Mm.
I am not going to discredit Bobby Lashley or anyone in the WWE for coming out and saying hello and thank you to those people. With that aside, I agree. Like, you are pushing the face so hard.
You're pushing face.
And it's like, why are you forcing us? Why don't you just let your fan base
mm-hmm.
kind of let you in on what we want?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't really mind Bobby Lashley. I don't mind him as a face per se. I'm not a big fan any way, shape, or form of anything he does. But with that being said, you know, Lashley was much better as a heel.
Yes.
Than he is as a face.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that WWE right now has a big problem with faces.
Yes.
But I don't think you can force, you know, a Lashley type into being a face.
No, you can't. It doesn't work that way. And it doesn't, as has been proven with Roman Reigns, you can't force the fan opinion on the fans Because it's not going to work.
It's just awful.
It always blows up in your face, WWE, and you still try and do it.
Why don't they listen to us?
I don't know. We're very so smart.
Dumb.
Well, we had a Drew McIntyre versus Chad Gable match where they just continue to bury Chad Gable.
Yeah. Once again, we talked about it last week. We'll talk about it this week. We talk about it with Apollo Crews. You had these incredible talents,
mm-hmm.
and you were burying them as punching bags.
Yeah.
And I just think it's they don't know what to do with Chad Gable. Now, my insider self,
my
little kid self,
mm-hmm.
is saying, you know what? I think they are constantly pushing Chad Gable down, and they are building a rivalry because he lost to Dolph last week. He mm-hmm. lost to McIntyre this week. Guess who's scheduled to be coming back?
Huh?
A Jason Jordan?
What?
Could there be an American Alpha 2?
That's what I'm thinking. Maybe them versus this McIntyre-Ziggler partnership.
So the going sentiment on the Twitter and in the WWE universe is that McIntyre has the ability, the potential, and the talent to carry the WWE, to be their flagship, you know, champion.
Yes.
And I got to say, I got to agree.
Mm-hmm.
When he first came a couple years ago and he was part of the three-man band and all that stuff, he was green and he was awkward.
Yeah.
And they made him out to be goofy. But this coming out as the I hate everyone, Killer Scotsman, mm-hmm. and
oh, I think it's
bagpipes
great.
And the yep. claymore and all that. Shit, yeah.
Down.
Love me some McIntyre.
I'm down with that.
So, but yeah, he killed Gable. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't think Gable had any decent offense that whole entire match.
Nope.
But I'm not complaining because...
No, I think it was good. I think it was good. And yeah. It bothers me that they bury Gable, but like you said, I think they're doing it actually on purpose this time.
And I actually like the comparison that they're doing with, you know, when Shawn Michaels and Diesel work together, how they have Dolph and Drew McIntyre.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I will give Ziggler, like, you and I like Ziggler.
Yeah, we've always liked him.
I will give Ziggler the props of he can be another Shawn Michaels. He's got the comedic chops.
Mm-hmm.
He's
mm-hmm.
got the ability. Just open the door and let him walk through it.
Yeah, yeah. Go for it.
So, I don't know.
Go for it. Speaking of things I don't know about.
Yeah.
There was a barbecue on Raw this week.
So, let me fill you in, because I know you're an idiot.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm.
So, please, the B-team is undefeated. They beat Breezango twice
now. Right. Undefeated.
So, they're undefeated, which they thought meant they got an immediate match to challenge for the tag team belts.
Right. Guess what? Not the case.
Well, Kurt Angle said, no, my friends. I am not going to let you jump above all the other contenders in our super great Raw tag team division.
Right, because we don't let people who have very little proven stuff jump ahead and just get title matches. Yeah. Ronda Rousey.
Never.
We don't let that happen.
Never.
Mm-hmm.
No.
So.
But, so, what had happened was...
Mm-hmm.
is the B team said, you know what? You're right. We realize we can't do that. So we have to do something to get these guys to just be our buddies and say, sure, go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get that opportunity. So they decided to have the B team barbecue.
Right.
Which we knew was going to turn into a food fight.
Because there was food on a ring stage?
Anytime there's food on the ring, in the ring, around the ring, near the ring. I mean, you can be an innocent bowl of popcorn. Backstage,
still
get assaulted.
So what sort of food was at this B-Team barbecue?
Well, my friend,
mm-hmm.
we had potato chips.
Did you? Oh.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We had
Baked beans.
Mm-hmm. We had potato chips.
Mm-hmm. Potato salad.
We had Bow dogs. A lot of bow stuff.
Yeah, not a lot of axle stuff.
No, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
They had bratwursts.
Oh.
Notice how everything's with a B.
Yeah.
Get it? Do you get it?
Yeah.
So much fun. They had bologna sandwiches, mm-hmm. which Rhino, this was the funniest part to me. Rhino is just sitting in a chair
eating.
With a freaking sheet pan full of bologna sandwiches just chowing away.
I think my favorite part is thinking about them setting this up and then saying, WWE saying to Rhino, hey, Rhino, this is what we want you to do. Take this sheet pan of bologna sandwiches and just sit here and eat them.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do.
And he's like, you're going to let me eat and pay me?
Okay.
So he's destroying bologna sandwiches. Titus gets, you know, the B team gets out there and they're like, hey, we deserve the chance at this. You guys got to let us do this. And of course, Titus, being the spokesman, goes, no, and dumps a whole thing of baked beans over Bo.
Oh, no.
A whole thing of baked
beans. That's ridiculous.
Now, I can only assume they were steaming hot.
Obviously.
Yeah. So
baked beans are always served hot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So a food fight ensues. And
it's not coming at all.
It's, you know, shenanigans,
mm-hmm.
silliness,
yes,
cakes.
Though I will say, they haven't had a good food fight on television in a while.
But was this a good one?
Now, I enjoy more the backstage ones
yeah.
that they do, where they, I mean, people are hiding under tables and food is getting thrown against walls. Like, I enjoy those, I think, a little more.
We're going to talk about food being thrown a little bit later
mm-hmm.
when we get into SmackDown.
Yes. Because
there was an awesome segment that involved food. A blindfold, and The Miz.
Yes.
But as we talk about this, this leads into a Money in the Bank, tag team battle royale to find the contenders for the Deleter of World.
Do they pull the trigger, like you said, and pull the trigger on the B team doing it for Money in the Bank?
We talked about it earlier. I do like the kind of comedic, ignorant shtick. I think it's funny. It's... Mm-hmm. Although it's old in and of itself, it's new again on Raw. So I like that whole idea.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The tag team division is weak as it is.
Yes.
This gives it a little validity and a little more fun.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm okay with all of it.
Mm-hmm.
I just hope they let it play out and kind of be that summer kind of fun thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's see what happens with it is all I'm saying.
I gotcha. But that wasn't what we ended Raw on. We ended Raw on the 7 women gauntlet match to see who was going to be the last Money in the Bank qualifier.
Right. I'm going to give you a rundown real quick in my opinion because it's going to be real easy.
Let's do it.
Bayley starts it.
Yep.
All right. Bayley starts it. Liv Morgan comes in. 18 seconds later, she's pinned.
Mm-hmm.
Then the killer of raccoons,
mm-hmm.
the wild woman herself, Sarah Logan, rolls in another 18 seconds. I think it was 20 seconds. She's pinned.
Mm-hmm.
They beat up on Bayley so that when Ruby Riott comes out, Ruby Riott gets the pin, Bayley's out.
Right. So you totally squash the idea of setting this up to the be Banks Bayley and Bayley. Banks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So now this is filmed in Richmond
mm-hmm.
or live in Richmond, however you want to say it. And the hometown hero is Mickie James.
Okay.
You never win in your hometown.
Mm-hmm.
So we know Mickie's not going to get it. But goddamn, did she have a great showing.
She did. She looked real good.
Fantastic.
She looked really good.
And, you know, not that I'm a big Mickie James fan. We've talked about it on our show. She takes bumps like nobody else.
Mm-hmm.
She is amazing. I think the only one that's doing better than her right now in taking bumps is KO. Because
yes.
Kevin Owens is selling everything. I mean, straight down to somebody flicking him,
mm-hmm.
he's taking it and yep. just selling the hell out
yep.
of it.
Yep.
But Mickie James is amazing when it comes to that.
Mm.
But we know she's going to lose. So she loses to Ruby Riott. Then Dana Brooke comes in. And I don't know. She's like another Carmella to me. From
mm-hmm.
the neck down, I'm impressed. From the neck up, not so much. So now we know that Sasha Banks is going to come in last.
Mm-hmm.
Ruby Riott has been in there. I was personally pulling for Ruby Riott. I think she would have been a much better addition to the Money in the Bank women's match.
Mm-hmm.
But with all that being said, Sasha pulls out the win. Nothing between her and Bayley.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know where that's going. This is more like the Shane McMahon, Daniel Bryan thing where we think it's just going to die passively.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
And so now you got Banks in there. And I agree. I think Riott would have been better in this whole Money in the Bank thing.
So, I mean, but now we have our whole women's division card set. We've mm-hmm. got our whole men's division card set. We've got a lot of the matches set for Money in the Bank. You know what that tells me?
Mm-hmm.
We can put out our Money in the Bank challenge.
Ooh, I agree, sir.
All right. Shameless plug here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We here at T3 have been 33 episodes in developing yes. our Money in the Bank, our pay-per-view wrestling pick-ems, kind of our, you know... First, it started as an internal challenge to us. Then we started sending it out to some of our friends.
Mm-hmm. We did now, a bigger one for WrestleMania.
Yeah, now we want to open it up. We have set it up, and we have rules. We have a whole format. We're looking forward to it. So we're going to open it up to all our friends and fans.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have a big old Money in the Bank challenge, and it's solely for bragging rights.
Yes.
But we'll get more into the details of it. But it basically boils down into this. You pick winners. If mm-hmm. it involves a belt, you get 5 points. If it doesn't, you get 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Or I'm sorry, you get 1 point. And then we give you 3 prop questions based on the event that if you get right, you get 3 points. If you get wrong, you don't lose anything.
Right.
Then, just to make it interesting, everyone that participates will make 3 predictions.
Mm-hmm.
If you get it right, you get 3 points. If you get it wrong, you lose 3 points.
So it better be a damn good prediction.
So, and they have to be unique. Mm-hmm. You can't just say, hey, Roman Reigns will show up because we know he's going to show up.
Right, right.
So they have to be unique. They have to be dynamic. A lot of people call them prop bets.
Mm-hmm.
But we're kind of looking forward to it. We're looking forward to having the fun. I've spent time making an Excel spreadsheet.
Lots of time.
And it's my obsessive compulsive and nerdism.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, if you're interested, please send us an email, a text, a DM, mm-hmm. shoot us up on Twitter, let us know what's going on. We want you involved. We want it to be as big as possible, and we want to have some fun with this.
We want as many shows. We want as many fans, all that sort of stuff, building it bigger and bigger so that we can do something
huge. I'm even going to put it this way, mm-hmm. and we'll talk about some of the things we love. I want to open it up to the Right Coast pro wrestlers that may or may not listen to us.
Mm-hmm.
Or we all know they listen to us.
Why wouldn't they?
But mm-hmm. may admit or not admit to it.
Also true.
We want to open it up to them. We want that insider knowledge. You guys are professionals. We respect you for that. We want to see what you think about these clowns on this WWE network mm-hmm. and this pay-per-view they're going to do.
Wasting time on television.
All right. Now that I've gone off on that tyrant, I got one more.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to say this.
Yes.
The all-in that Cody Rhodes has built up.
Yes.
I know we don't talk outside of WWE on mm-hmm. our show that often, but I've got to say, freaking impressive.
How long did it take for that thing to sell out?
29 seconds.
That was ridiculous.
That's 10,000 seats in 29 seconds, and not a lot went to scalpers. With that being said, obviously the bang is kicking in.
Kick it in. Kick.
Full fire right
go,
now.
Go.
With that being said, it was developed with, we've got some names we'll give you, but we're not developing a card. Now we're starting to see the matches that are going on this card.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my freaking God. I can't wait.
I think this is something we're going to have to cover. Like you said, we don't cover a lot of outside of WWE ones and local stuff, but I think we're going to have to cover this all in.
So we got that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm really going off on a tangent now.
Mm-hmm.
The New Japan Super Junior tournament?
Yes, yes.
Oh, my God. There mm-hmm. is some amazing talent on this stuff.
Yeah.
So, and Lucha Underground.
Lucha Underground 4, coming back.
We were like a month away.
Yep. I feel that somehow we are going to end up either extending our show to include a lot of these, or we're going to come up with a spinoff of our own spinoff. Of other non-WWE.
I don't know if we can. I think I am just going to totally mark out on the other wrestling and we keep it WWE.
Mm.
Because we have a lot of friends that go the whole gamut of wrestling.
The whole gamut, yeah.
You know, if you need all of that, and I'm going to give shameless plugs, mm-hmm. listen to 2-Bit Wrestling, the Alleged Wrestling Podcast. Listen to The Wrestling Life.
Yep.
Those guys on The Wrestling Life, freaking phenomenal.
No, they know more than we could ever know. They write about this for like actual publications.
But and when you talk to them, they are the most down-to-earth, nicest guys ever,
mm-hmm.
and just love the feedback we get from them. Then Busted Wide Open, which is going huge right now.
Yeah, they just had their one-year anniversary episode drop.
Yeah, they're going YouTube channels. They're going huge. Good on you guys. Go for it. We wish you all the luck in the world. Anything we can do to help you, we won't
because
we don't like you.
Correct.
We're petty jealousy.
Yes.
But, I mean, and then there are a number of other wrestling shows out there that cover this.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
we're a huge supporter of the wrestling fan community. So we just want you guys to get out there and enjoy it all the way you do. With that being said, we stick to the crap.
Right, right.
We are the two pigs wallowing in the mud of WWE.
Speaking of crap, SmackDown happened.
Thanks. Obviously, I didn't want to talk about Letdown because that was freaking horrible.
All right, I think we just need to breeze through this pretty much.
All right, let's make it quick.
All right, we start out with the match we know is going to happen, the qualify match. You figured out who it was. It was just going to be Daniel Bryan and Samoa Joe.
But Samoa Joe came out. And he handled the ladder.
He
did it well.
And he did. I'm impressed now. I'm excited about him in a ladder match.
Lessons.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. But then he does one of his killer goddamn promos.
Like he always does. Where he is
freaking gold on the mic, and he calls out Daniel Bryan, and he says a lot of mean things, but what brings Daniel Bryan out?
Oh, it's talking about the kids and the wife.
Bree and the birdie.
Yep.
You don't mess with them.
You don't mess with them.
He's obviously a leg man because he killed Cass's leg.
Yes.
And he goes, you talk about my family, I'm going to break your leg, Joe.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he goes, we don't have to wait for the main event. We can do this right now. Which you and I both know, as soon as he said that and started climbing in the ring, other shenanigans.
Other shenanigans would happen. Other shenanigans being 7-foot-tall big Cass.
Because you can't teach that.
You can't teach that. Walking on his one crutch, showing up. But he's cleared. It's okay. Oh, and then because WWE Creative does the same thing every time.
He Joe.
It's just a triple threat match now.
But he chompas Joe. He hits him with the crutch.
Yeah,
And Daniel Bryan fights back, and then he beats up Bryan, and then he beats up Joe, and then he climbs it, and he hits everybody with the briefcase, and who cares?
I'm done. Yeah.
Do you want Big Cass anywhere
in I don't want him anywhere near this match.
And
I don't want him anywhere near Samoa Joe and Daniel Bryan.
I want the gods of war to come down upon WWE because you have done this a couple of times now where you have promised us the stellar matches that we want only to ruin it by making a triple threat match.
Right. Throwing in a big cast. Throwing in a Roman Reigns.
Oh, it's awful.
Stop it.
Cut it out.
Speaking of matches nobody wanted.
Yep.
Nakamura versus Ty Dillinger.
All right. Well, some of the positives to take back.
Mm-hmm.
Ty Dillinger gets a haircut.
He does. I enjoy his mocking of Nakamura.
Yeah. Come on! But Ty Dillinger looks like he is in the ring legitimately drunk.
Yes.
Like he is missing marks. He's dropping. And this isn't the first match this has happened televised.
No.
So, Ty, I mean, you need to get your shit together because you look like crap in the ring right now.
I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a personal thing he's got going on in his life. But I don't know what's happening.
I don't know if you're as intelligent as I am. Did you get that he was doing the 10 count?
Yes.
That's what he did to AJ.
Right.
And then he beat up the perfect 10?
Yep, yep.
Why didn't they do a 10 count where he throws Dillinger out of the ring and he can't respond in?
Yeah, I don't know.
No, so he gets a 3 count, and then he's got to grab the mic and count to 10.
But, yeah.
Good for you.
Whatever.
Shinsuke. I do still love me some heel Shinsuke.
Mm-hmm.
So I will give you that.
That's all. I'm good with that.
Was crap, and I'm not a big fan of it.
And then,
well,
there was a dance-off.
Ah.
And now, this is point, as is known, we text each other during the shows. And I believe I texted you and just said, what period the period hell?
Yeah, yeah. And I hit you back with the, hey, okay, so watching Rusev dab.
Right, right.
I'll take that.
I'll take that.
Watching Aiden in the background, like, trying to center his chi and bring his focus in. I'll take that.
I'll take that.
I'll take Lana being, like, super happy. Like, this is going to be fun. We're going to have a dance.
Yeah. He's
great. Mm-hmm. And she's talking in her Scottish-Russian accent.
Right, right.
I really don't do accents well
at all. You don't at all. No. I thought I was bad. You're really bad.
Everything turns into your Razor Ramon.
Every accent I do turns into Razor Ramon or a leprechaun.
Yeah.
So, no matter who I'm trying to do.
And I love when you do the leprechaun, you got to swing your little
arms. Swing your arms, don't you know?
But anyway,
mm-hmm.
So we're going to have this dance off.
Right. So Lana has her Rusev Day people with her. Naomi's obviously got to have the Usos come out with her.
Remember, Lana is the best.
Lana,
number one.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So she comes out. And yes. Lana starts off the dance competition, and pretty entertaining. She's very good.
Some moves.
She crushed the Spinneroony. Booker T, suck it.
She did. She did. But she cannot beat the stripper moves of Naomi.
No, sweet, sweet stripper moves.
Sweet, sweet booty popping moves.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Now, wait. I will say Lana did some booty popping.
She did. She did.
She made him clap.
She did not go that far.
There was this, like...
There's clappage?
Like a golf clap?
Got it. I'll give you that.
She didn't get the full
clap. No.
She got the golf clap.
But then they went into the kid and play, tap and heels, let's spin around.
Now, I kind of liked it. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, oh, okay.
Because they were best friends, and oh, they hug, and then,
oh, no, the RKO out of nowhere.
Oh, my gosh, it slams her.
Do you think Randy Orton gets a kickback on that move?
I would assume he does.
But he's got to have that thing trademarked out of nowhere, by now. And then she runs over. Not only does she diss the woman, but then she runs over and slaps her husband.
Slaps Jimmy.
Mm-hmm. And Jay's just looking over there like, hey.
What is happening here?
The hell going on here?
I was just watching some pretty ladies dance. So,
this leads us into a mixed challenge match, where it's Jey Uso and Naomi versus Lana and Aiden?
Well, they didn't want to bring her husband Jimmy into it? Or
because I guess they're saving Rusev for the money in the bank? I don't understand.
This is what I'm assuming.
Was it Jey or Jimmy
They're doing it this week, so that next week...
Yeah.
The week before Money in the Bank, then they'll do husband and wife versus husband and wife.
Okay.
That's the only thing I could think.
So, who do the Usos piss off?
I don't know.
Because this is 2 weeks in a row that they are the punching bag.
Yeah. Yeah. The only thing I actually got out of this match that is of any interest to me is this is obviously Lana being heel, which means that they are going to keep Rusev Day heel. As opposed to making them everybody's favorite Rusev Day face.
Well, because we were worried about that last week.
Right. So I'm good with that. Just keep them heel. Just keep the whole group heel. I'm fine with that.
Okay.
So that happened.
Yeah, dance off.
Then we had the master food deflector backstage of The Miz preparing for his match against The New Day.
Okay, so I know this is dumb. I know it's campy, but I absolutely loved it.
Yes.
Miz has got his Naruto headband over his eyes.
Over his eyes.
The bar is throwing pancakes at him.
Yep.
And he is straight up Karate Kid knocking him out of the air. And I'm sitting there laughing, just eating it up. Like, I found it to be very, very funny. I enjoyed it.
I agree.
So, and then that leads us into the six-man tag.
The six-man tag, which New Day ends up winning.
Yeah, the Bar and the Miz versus the New Day.
Yeah, I think it was a Big E pinned Miz, if I remember
right. Holy crap. The things I take away from this.
Mm-hmm.
Kofi and Xavier are ridiculous.
Ridiculous, yes.
And if they do this singles push on Big E, and that leaves Xavier and Kofi to be a tag team, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
You know, and let Big E, and I mean, it ends with still not letting us know, and we won't know probably until Money in the Bank.
That's what
I'm
saying.
And I'm fine with that. It's kind of fun, and you know,
doesn't really change the outcome of the match because I don't see any of the three winning. But
no, but I can see all three of them being good in that match.
Yes.
So I'm fine with any of it. What I take away from this is this the decline of the Bar? Are they becoming campy shtick again?
Are they becoming Miz Tarash?
Well, I don't know, but like the Miz, I think is fine in all of this. Yeah. This is the Miz, so it's fine. But like the Bar being the thrower of pancakes now, being the foils for New Day, where you're just the straight man for the clowns. I don't know.
That's usually that's the start of the decline.
Yeah, that's like a kiss of death. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, but interesting to find out.
Yeah.
And then where did this lead us to, Craig?
This led us to Asuka versus Mandy Rose.
Okay, so do you want to talk about the AJ promo?
Oh, yes, we should talk about that first.
All right, so AJ, after the whole Shinsuke thing and the New Day match, AJ cuts this promo about, you know, here I am, I'm great, Shinsuke's not great, I'm going to beat him. And the only thing I can get is this was actually a good promo because I think it wasn't scripted. They're just like, AJ, go out and sell yourself.
Right, right.
And when you do that with AJ, he's fine.
He's good.
But when you give him these scripted lines and he's supposed to hit these marks and say these
That's when it doesn't flow for him. Yeah.
No, he does not act well. You just let AJ be AJ.
Yeah, yeah.
So I wonder, are you interested in the Shinsuke AJ last man standing match?
The problem I have is I am now burned out is not the word on AJ and Shinsuke, but I am tiring of it because it has been happening and to no avail over and over and over again.
I'm going to equate it to, say, a tray of bologna sandwiches.
Yes.
And they say, hey, John,
mm-hmm.
the demigod,
right?
you're going to get paid your WWE salary to go out to the middle of a ring and just eat bologna sandwiches.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I like bologna.
Yeah. I like sandwiches. Let's go. You're going
to pay me some money to just sit there and eat sandwiches?
Mm-hmm.
But listen, in the end, you have to get thrown through a table.
Mm-hmm.
I'm down for it. That's what I do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. But as I'm sitting there eating these bologna sandwiches in the middle of the segment, I'm like, you know what? I've already downed three of these sandwiches. I don't know if I want to eat any more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I feel as though we're in the middle of the segment where it's kind of like, I've had a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want any more. And I hope, knowing what the finish is eventually going to be, I hope it doesn't suck.
Right. I hope it is a good thrown through a table, not a...
I want a Dudley through the table, yes. Not a dropped on the table and it doesn't break.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
So
that is what I'm hoping for at Money in the Bank, is a Dudley thrown through a table.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we've gone through that. Talk to me now about the match.
So we start off with Mandy Rose coming out to her...
with the Vaseline grease
around it.
1990s Skinamax porn music.
Yes, yes. Carmella and is there on commentary.
So the song opens up with a woman's voice going, Mandy Rose.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that's Sonya Deville?
I would assume so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I would, given the opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, but we have that. And you're right, Carmella is
sitting on commentary.
And... once again, neck down. Mm-hmm. I like the little overall the halter top thing. She looked cute.
And the thing is, the thing I will give, like, KO is good and funny on commentary. Carmella, while not necessarily funny or even good, she does her heel job of spending all the commentary match putting it back on her. Like, talking about, like, you realize I'm better than this lady Asuka in the ring, right?
But all she could relate it to is Charlotte beat Asuka... and I beat Charlotte twice.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't float for me. Like, you don't have any other leg to stand on.
No, she's got nothing to stand on at all.
I'd rather
all know that.
I'd rather you make some stupid shit up than just, keep going back to that same well.
Yeah. Yeah. But Asuka got attacked on her way down the ramp by Sonya Deville. Exactly.
Which was great.
It was good.
And Asuka looked vulnerable.
Yeah.
Now she comes back to destroy Mandy Rose.
Right, and gets, I believe she actually tapped out, right?
Yeah, she tapped out to the Asuka lock. But Mandy Rose is looking better. Like I said this about Sonya Deville a couple of weeks ago. I'm going to say it about Mandy Rose now.
Mm-hmm.
Mandy Rose in the ring, both very attractive women, but in the ring is looking better and better and showing more and more talent and poise in the ring every week.
Yeah, I think this whole thing that happened with Absolution just sort of breaking up, but Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose still being associated with each other, I think is good for both of them. They're both looking as strong individual singles wrestlers, but they still come together when necessary, when appropriate.
All right. We've talked enough about this crap. Let's talk about the most important part of this whole women's match.
Yes.
In the back, we have Charlotte and Becky Lynch.
Correct.
Watching the match, talking about it. Mm-hmm. And Charlotte puts herself over and says, I don't know what it's going to take. I got to win this Money in the Bank. I have to get my title back. And she's looking off. And Becky's like, I don't know what you're looking at. That just looks like a wall.
Mm.
You need to look a little more to the left.
Yeah.
Keep looking. Because Becky was on the left. Yeah. And she's like, I'm going to win the Money in the Bank. And I'm like, I love you, Becky.
Oh, my God.
Becky Lynch, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, she makes a reference, Craig, that I don't know if you know this. I love Becky Lynch.
I've heard that, yeah.
But what did she reference, sir?
I believe she actually referenced the newest Star Wars movie that came out, Han Solo.
How big of a nerd am I?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Massive.
And what did you text me when that happened?
I said, Becky Lynch just referred to Star Wars in conversation. Do you love her even more?
And what did I send you back?
You sent me then a picture of Becky Lynch.
And I think just a statement of, I love her.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. She can do no wrong in my world.
No wrong. No wrong.
I don't believe
she will. The quinoa queen can do no wrong in your world.
No, God, no. And I love me some quinoa, too.
I know.
But I will say this. I don't believe she stands a chance at winning Money in the Bank.
Nope.
But I'm happy she's in it. Mm-hmm. I'm happy she's getting this little comedic comedy time, and she gets to show some of her acting chops.
And I hope that she gets a good run in the Money in the Bank match. She actually looks strong.
I think it'll look good. But, end all be all, thank you for giving me a little Becky. Now, with that being said, and I know this is weird, me not putting Becky over as much as I can because, God, I love that woman.
Right, right.
Did you notice, like, Paige sharking in the back?
Yeah, it was...
And then she comes back and she's like, oh, remember PCB?
Yeah,
remember us? Remember that.
Hey, guys, tea time.
I like the competition. Mm-hmm. This gives me a great idea. So now we have a match next week.
Yep.
Thank you, WWE, of Charlotte and Becky Lynch. My only fear is this.
Yes.
Because you announced it a week early, when does it become a triple threat?
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Who else is going to get in there and mess things up? And
I don't know.
Is Carmella going to get thrown in that? Or
I don't know. But all I know is right now I can look at my favorite, Becky Lynch, wrestling Charlotte, and they've always had decent matches together. So let's see what happens.
And then we end on the Samoa Joe, Big Cass, Daniel Bryan, triple threat qualifier, which just whatever. It just ends with Samoa Joe submitting Daniel Bryan to the point where Bryan passes out.
Yeah. Well, and he didn't submit.
He didn't submit. He just passed out.
Yeah, so.
And that and I felt like the whole match was basically them two just trying to get Big Cass out of the way they could keep fighting.
Yeah, they just wanted to beat up on Cass, which is obviously Cass is still being punished because they just made him a punching bag.
Yes.
So, and I like the fact that Samoa Joe gets over on Daniel Bryan. All of the wrestling marks were upset. Like, how does Daniel Bryan lose? How does Daniel Bryan lose? And I can't remember who said it, but on Twitter, it's like, hey, look, Daniel Bryan's not going to win everything.
No.
Get over it.
Exactly. And I'm like,
that's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah. And I actually
like
that
marks.
Samoa Joe
Settle
wins.
Down, Marks.
Yeah, I actually like that Samoa Joe wins.
We needed Samoa Joe to get a win.
Yeah.
The man talks the best game in the world. It keeps losing. He needed to get a win.
Exactly. So I'm happy with everything that happened there.
And that's all the WWE-ness. So, that was SmackDown, which was a letdown.
It was a filler week.
Right, it was a filler week. It's what we expected. So we can get into something we enjoy more, which is the local stuff, the Right Coast Pro stuff.
Let's talk Right Coast Pro.
All right, so, as we know, we discussed last week, they had their impound event.
Okay, right.
Right, Brian Profit won with shenanigans and tomfoolery.
Okay. That aside, we've talked about that. There's something we were remiss on. Inter-family turmoil here.
There was. All right. For months, we know that some of our favorites, the Baldwin brothers,
have been at odds.
They
haven't seen eye to eye.
You know, we got Jerry Baldwin, we got Harry Baldwin, and we got Brutus Baldwin. All clashing.
Just kind of not on the same page here.
But luckily, scientist Dexter Boylan... All right, had a perfect genetic sequence that he could do to give all of them so they could have brotherly love together. He had this experiment ready to go.
Some weird voodoo magic?
No, this is science.
This is science.
Science. He had a lab coat and glasses and everything.
Oh, okay. Science.
Science. All right. He wasn't quite ready, though, but he had to premiere that he had to do it at this event. All right. So he brought out this formula for all the Baldwins to have. But Harry and Brutus were having none of it. They just bullied him. So Jerry Baldwin had to come out and save them. All right, he had to save poor bully Dexter because we're all about bullying here.
Well, if we've learned anything from Alexa Bliss, bullying is bad.
Bullying is bad. All right, so then there was
I'm not following along. So Dexter's trying to bring the Baldwin family back together.
Correct.
Now, the definition of a ring technician and the other brother.
Right, and Brutus, yes.
And Brutus had nothing to do with it.
No.
So what did Jerry do? Did he come out and beat up his brothers? Did he come out and take care of Dexter? I don't understand.
He came out to protect Dexter because they were beating up on Dexter. So Jerry came out to protect poor Dexter who was getting beat up.
So Mr. Intensity is the only one that has any common sense.
Exactly.
Now,
exactly.
I'm going to flip the script on you. I'm going to say the other two Baldwin brothers, Brutus and Harry, I'm not going to let you put any untested, unknown scientific junk. I'm assuming it's like a formula or
something.
It
is, right, right.
I'm not going to take anything like that without knowing what it is.
I can understand that hesitation, but this is all to combine brothers together for more brotherly love, to bring us back together as a family.
It's emotion.
It's science. It can fix it.
No, you have to work on the
science fixes everything.
You got to work on the psyche.
No.
Not a chemical element.
I don't think I understand. Let me explain this again. Lab coat, glasses.
I
obviously, Dexter knew what he was doing.
I get that this Dexter fella may be highly intelligent.
Right.
I am not discrediting him.
Lab coat and glasses. If somebody with a lab coat and glasses says, here, take this, it'll make your life better, I will say, yes, Mr. Scientist, I will take it.
Bill Nye.
Right. Bill Nye comes up and says, drink this. We're drinking something called Bang that we just bought off the internet.
No, they sell it at GNC and Vitamin World.
Right. So. Was there anybody in a lab coat at GNC or Vitamin World?
No.
And you're still putting it in your body?
It's this guy named Chuck. He's funny. I like talking to him. But
too bad.
Oh.
So this leads to more turmoil throughout the night. All right. We had Harry Baldwin was fighting against Nova GT.
So he's beating up a car.
Right. But Jerry got involved in it, led to distraction. So Nova GT won in record time. Less than a minute. The car Nova won.
Nova GT also beat Jerry.
Yeah.
A couple shows ago.
So now we're leading all this into Festivus 6, which is on July 14th.
This is their big show.
Yes. It is Harry Baldwin versus Jerry Baldwin. The Baldwin bash is coming to an end.
That's what I am saying. Is this the culmination? Is this the Shinsuke AJ of RCP?
I believe it is. I believe it is. This is brother against brother.
I'm torn because I love me some Baldwin brothers. All right, I'm absolutely torn.
We've been on definition of a ring technician Harry M. Baldwin since the beginning.
But just on name alone. That was before we got to know Mr. Intensity.
Exactly.
So, and I'm dying to know who this Brutus guy is.
He's coming in. I'm surprised that this is not a triple match, but maybe it is. We still got a couple months. So.
I don't know. Mm. I don't know, but it's sad to see family members go this route. It's sad to see any good team break up. I hope they can get past their differences, they can make up with one another, and move on and own Right Coast Pro.
Right. And that's at this, like I said, Festivus 6 event, July 14th in Delaware. Not only do we have this Baldwin bash.
What else do we got?
But we already have Brian Proffitt's first title defenses set up for that night as well.
Who's he going to fight? Like Nova GT?
No.
He is fighting. Wait, let me say it. That no good Nick, Miles Millennium?
No, not even the no good Nick.
What about the best wrestling name ever?
Mm-hmm.
Mozart Fontaine.
Mozart Fontaine. Not any of them.
The Chick Magnet.
The Chick Magnet.
None of them?
None of them.
Who is he fighting?
He is going against former WWE wrestler Darren Young.
I know that guy.
Now is Mr. No Days Off Fred Rosser.
He's a hardworking individual.
He was with Titus O'Neil. When they were, what, the primetime players?
Yeah.
So he was recently has left WWE, come back to Delaware, which is where he used to fight before.
Right.
He's come back to Right Coast Pro.
Back to his roots. Mm-hmm. We're going to get to enjoy this show. Now, here's the problem I have with this.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. No Days Off has to face a known heel in one Brian Proffitt.
Yep.
Now, Brian Proffitt looks at it as though he used the resources available to him.
Correct.
I am hoping that Brian Proffitt can defend a title without, quote-unquote, using the resources available to
him. Oh, he'll use the resources. But I have a feeling that Fred Rosser will not be down for it.
No.
Mr. No Days Off will put him in his place. Because he'll be ready for these shenanigans. Unlike poor, defenseless Gene Snitsky in his eyes. I don't even know if he can see anymore.
He went to a local medical facility.
He did. I don't even know if he's out.
We don't know. We don't know what's going to happen.
I'm pretty sure he got two glass eyes put in.
But I will say this. Loved everything Gene Snitsky has done to this date with Right Coast Pro.
Yep.
And I hope we get to see more of it.
Yep. Yep. I agree. So that is our local stuff. Now we have our moment of. And I think we talked about it before.
Ugh.
So just in case, we have to share this with the world.
I don't wanna.
We have to. People need to know.
You're saying not personal. We got to put personal aside.
Right.
This is for journalistic integrity.
Exactly. And for journalistic integrity, we have to play a clip from Real One's Phoenix.
Oh, kill me.
The initial drop from Enzo.
Just kill me now.
Just listen to this lyrical genius rhyme words that do not rhyme.
Still I rise from the ashes like a phoenix, middle finger to the sky, gripping my consensual penis, lying ass on Phoenix. When I say this shit, I mean it. Fuck you, Marks, I hate it. This for all my fans are waiting. Entertainment's hottest free agent. Bitch, I'm reincarnated.
There you go, folks. You're welcome for that.
I'm sorry for that.
You're welcome for that. Your life is forever changed.
Sorry for that.
Your life is
forever changed now that you can't clean that out of your ears.
Yep. And that is our lovely show for this week, Mr. John.
Mr. Craig,
mm-hmm.
That was a wonderful show.
That was. We do what we can with what we are given sometimes.
Yep. I want to say a couple thank yous.
Mm-hmm.
I want to send a thank you to Take Two Podcast.
Yep.
The parent show of ours.
Mm-hmm. Big Mama and Papa.
Good stuff coming out. We just got the most recent issue of Take Two out.
Mm-hmm.
I know Spotlight has just come out with Sandra just Bullock.
Sandra Bullock.
If you are a fan of rom-coms, dramedies,
mm-hmm.
A little drama, a little action, whatever. A
little action. She does it all.
You can get it all.
Mm-hmm. She
with
does
this
all.
One. I know for a fact, because I have an inside track,
mm-hmm.
Soundtracks is going to be coming out
soon. Is coming soon.
And I hear something a little special this time. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying what it is. Mm-hmm. Just a little gift for the eardrums.
Yes, it often is. All right. We've got the realms coming out. We've got so many things happening.
Stuff
happening all over the Take-Two Network. So we thank all those. We thank again to all of our followers, all of our listeners. Please, if you don't follow us on Twitter, @Take2Takedown. Follow us there. Please continue to write us letters. We love to get letters from the fans.
We do love the letters. You know what else we need, though? We don't get much of? Ratings.
We do need ratings. We need those 5-star ratings on iTunes, on Podbean, on Stitcher. Give us those ratings, because the more ratings we have, the more people see who we are out there, and the more people that we can have listen to us.
That's it. We're just trying to build the community.
Trying to build it all. And remember, don't forget, so we can have a little bit of funds to help move this ship ever forward. If you have any online shopping needs, go to take2podcast.com, click on the Amazon link, buy your stuff through there. We get little kickbacks. We can keep our lovely ship going forward.
Oh, set a sea on a sail of drift.
Set a sea.
Just say goodbye.
All right, peace.
Thanks for listening to Take Two.
And don't forget, I love you, Bobby Roode. Bye, Bobby Roode.
We're going to record now.
You are introing, so.
Oh, son of a bitch. What show are we on,
33? 33.
No.
Just.
Got my finger up on my hand on my consensual penis.
Consensual penis.
This has been a production of Take Two Podcasts.
WTTP.
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 WTTP. Or WTTP.
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 WTTP. WTTP.
WTTP.